You sit at a desk. They sit at a desk. You have sales reports. They have book reports. You need supplies. They need supplies. Business is a lot like school. That's why your small business should take advantage of back-to-school deals at Staples. Now, Staples 1-inch 3-ring binders are $1.92. One subject notebooks are just 25 cents, and two pocket poly folders are just 35 cents each. Make back-to-school your business at Staples.
In-store only while supplies last. Offer ends 9/1/18, limit 30.
Yeah. Test, test, test.
Log Talk Radio.
There. God.
The music? Nothing?
It's supposed to start. A mutual.
Welcome to the first episode of the Crack Bell Crew Fantasy Fix. I'm your host, Steve Liburn. As always, I will be joined each and every Sunday morning by your boy, my boy, Fantasy.
What's up, Steve?
What's up, bud?
How you doing? All right, man?
I'm good. I'm a little frazzled because we're trying to get everything situated here, and it's
all right.
It's a new setup. We're kind of learning as we go using Log Talk and.
We're going to be fine. It's
I got a bunch of stuff going on in my ears right now, like echoes and...
It's ambiance, dude. It's ambiance.
It's like... Do you have echoes in your ear?
That's something happening.
What's going on, Rob?
He's working on it. Just go with it, dude.
Don't let it bother
you. Oh, it's not bothering me. I can't function. It's echoing back in my ear.
Feels like you're on, like, LSD.
Yeah. Give them a second to get everything squared up. That sounds better.
That's
Can you turn up my headphones, though? Yes. So that way I can hear. That's perfect.
Is that better, Steve?
Much better. All right, good. I just hear, like, all I'm hearing is, like, echo, and, like, that goes really, really rough. So.
That's better. That's good.
I'm good. So, let's get right into it.
Give them the premise. Premise of what we're doing here.
Yeah. So, different from what we do on Thursday night. This is just going to be focused primarily on fantasy football. Tommy and I are going to be giving the breakdowns each and every week of stardom sit-ems. We're going to talk different league scenarios. We're going to talk average draft position. For what we do, you're not going to get a ton of like in-depth analytics. We're just going to give you our opinions. We're going to give you some numbers, but... Now, everybody drafts different. We want to talk about, like, our philosophies on how we draft and what we do.
Yes.
One of the things I know was, like, a big thing when we're talking about philosophy. Like, a lot of leagues tend to go running back heavy. That's your first two rounds, running back, running back, running back.
Yes.
And I have a bit of a different philosophy when it comes to that.
Like, you do. Let them know. Tell the people.
I tend to go with a more, like, philosophical. My approach is, I look based off of the scoring where I'm going to get the most points at.
Okay.
And I look and see what I need to get each week. So, like, if you've been in the league for a certain amount of time, like, you know what the scoring looks like. And that's, like, one of the things that we should, like, start off with.
Yes.
If you're brand new and you're starting off in a league,
you better know your point system.
The point system is the most important part.
Yes.
Because, like, if defenses score a ton of points in your league, and you're waiting until the very end to get a good defense, that's going to be problematic. And I'm not saying that every league is set up that way or should be set up that way, but what I'm saying is if you don't know the scoring. Like in
right.
a league that I'm in, kickers average about 15 points a week.
Which is a ton.
Right. Quarterbacks average 25 to 30.
Right.
And, you know, defenses average 20 or more.
Okay.
So, like,
There's so a little more premise and emphasis put on those.
You want to make sure you're getting a big gun in that scenario.
You want to make sure that you're not, you know, putting yourself in a tough position.
Right. But also, on the same token, and I know you kind of mentioned startup initially, if you're in a league that's been around together, you need to know the people that are in your league. And you need to know how they draft. Because if you can pick up on their tendencies, that's going to help you know when you can wait on a wide receiver, or, you know, based on who's drafting around you, if it's a snake draft or if it's an auction, you know who pays for what. And that's going to help you be able to make a better decision for yourself to make your team better.
And that's another thing getting into. Obviously, scoring, as you said, is important on your scoring system. Paying attention during the draft to what other players have drafted already.
Very important.
It doesn't happen. Like, I see so many people at, like, drafts that I do, and as they're going through the draft, like, I'm looking and going, all right, he's already got three running backs, three wide receivers. He's not taking this position here. I know that this player will still be around for me. And,
right.
Like, people don't do that enough.
Nope. I feel they do it more on, and everybody does their drafts differently now. We have online drafts. We have location drafts where people throw out the sticker board still. I feel that it is paid more attention to with the sticker drafts.
Yeah.
And probably because of the color-coded availability that comes with it. So you can decipher by position, things like that. And it just gives you an easier angle of searching it. You know, when you're doing an online draft, you have your information up for your team that you can see. But it kind of really only shows, like, round by round what's happening, as opposed to you're going to have to toggle to another team specifically to see what their need is, which can take some time. And depending how much you have pick-wise, you know, if you do 2 minutes for a pick, mm-hmm. however it's set up, that can affect you, because you really need to look at, you know, three teams ahead of you, four teams ahead of you. You're not looking just at the guy next to you.
Exactly. And I think, like, these are all important lessons. And we talk about, like, mistakes that you make at a draft, like your common mistakes. And, you know, reaching on players just on name value.
Yes.
So just because you know his name. And I think a big mistake that people make is they only look at prior performance.
Well, sure, because it's easier.
Right.
It's easier to take the constant.
Right.
As opposed to swinging for defenses.
Right.
You know, but that's a style that you either have or you don't have.
Yeah. Like, I could tell a quick story. Probably 5 years ago, I had the last pick in the draft. So it's a snake draft, goes first and second.
Mm-hmm.
So I get first pick in the second round, last pick in the first round. And I totally based my picks off of prior performance. And I mean, obviously that should be an emphasis, but
sure.
I took Maurice Jones-Drew and Michael Turner, both in their last years. I based it 100% off of the fact that they were the two.
Well, they both got 1,200 yards every year prior.
I went off of their attempts, their
sure.
usage. And
well,
I'm like, they're going to get used as much. And they didn't. And it killed me because I didn't plan for, you know, changing of the guard where they were going to run three back systems. And
they probably hit that goal.
Yes.
They hit that golden number
30
years old for running backs that we don't all know, but you will know after listening to us. 30 is the number for running backs.
30 is the number.
Stay away.
Right.
Not that that's a common mistake, but that's where you got to wake up and, you know, he's average life form, or not life form. That's the wrong term to say, but career for running backs, you know, once they're there 5-6 years, they're beat up.
Indeed.
You know, you need to take that into account. But what, like, talking about strategy, what is your strategy, Steve? How do you, you know your rules, you know your draft mates.
Mm-hmm.
What's your thought process on it?
So, like I said, I kind of go through and I look and I try to figure out what number I need to be at. So as I'm drafting players, I'm looking for consistency.
And you mean points-wise to win a week?
Yes.
Okay.
So, like, my main objective is I go into the draft, and I think everybody does this in some way, but you might have a different process for it. Like, I'm looking and saying, I need to get X amount of points out of my running backs, both positions, both,
mm-hmm.
and my flex, and my wide receivers. I need to get X amount of points out of there. My tight end needs to get me this many points, because I know there's a certain number that if I hit every week, I'm going to win at the majority of the weeks.
Right.
So, like, coming out of the draft, I'm looking more for consistency top to bottom than I am big names.
Okay.
Like, I don't care if it's flashy and you're impressed by my roster, as long as I know that when I walk out of there, I have balance.
So the guy that gets you 20 one week and 3 the next week,
nothing for me. And I think that's
not interested
too.
In that. Right. You want that guy that's going to get you 15 every week.
Yes.
You know, and that I'm just throwing a number out there, but that's the concept that we're looking for here.
Right.
You know, now, contrastly, if you're in a best ball draft, that's a whole different world.
Explain what a best ball draft is.
So best ball draft is you are basically drafting a roster. You don't make any transactions, and your team is your team. Yeah, and you're basically picking your players, and you're forgetting about it.
Right.
So if it's a 18-round draft, you know, and you only draft one quarterback and he gets hurt, you're not getting any quarterback points for the whole year. But in those leagues, people swing for the fences. You know, the players that might get you 25 one week and then 2 for the next 2 weeks. They're not worried about that.
Right.
Sammy Watkins is a great example of that.
Yeah.
He's a swing for the fences guy.
I think wide receivers in general are that.
Yeah. You know, because you want to be able to grab those points when it happens. And in that type of league, you don't have to worry about it because you're never setting your lineup. Your whole roster is there. The best players get picked at each position, however their league setup is, whether it's one quarterback, two running back, 3 wideouts, a flex, and that's your points.
Right.
So that's a very different style from a draft standpoint because you don't necessarily have to worry about the week to week. You're
right.
Drafting for the week to week, but you are more inclined to take flyers.
Do you think that there's too many different styles of leagues?
I don't. You know, everybody has their preference. I've always just been a standard snake.
Same.
You know, I've done an auction before.
We converted ours to a keeper. Like, it started off as just a standard. I've been in the same league with the same guys for like 15 years.
Yeah, same with us. I think we started in 95, actually. So probably even a little bit longer. And
a lot longer. It's 23 years.
It's pretty much been the same.
Jesus, Tom, how old are you?
Yeah, and I'm showing my age right now. Yeah, college. We started in college, freshman year of college. So
what were you doing, counting points with stones?
We used the old marble notebook. And on Monday and Tuesday morning, we went down to the old Unimart at the corner and bought the newspaper.
What is a newspaper?
Right. And we had to go calculate the points. Really sucked being a commissioner back then. Because everybody wanted to know at, you know, 9 o'clock in the morning, did I win? Did I win? How'd I, you know, you can keep track on your own, but
nobody does.
We've come a long way.
Nobody does.
In the world. But yeah, pretty much the same guys. I'll say there was at least, it's always been 10 teams. There were 5 of us have been constant. And probably for the last 10 years or so, it's been the same 10.
Yeah.
So we all know each other. We all know how we draft.
Right. You think that makes it harder?
It makes it extremely hard. Like, for example, for this year's draft, we always draft the Sunday of Labor Day. Big thing with me going back to mistakes. I think drafts are held too early. People get hurt.
Yes.
The latest you can wait, the best scenario you're going to have, in my opinion.
I hear people drafting like early August and go, what are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, these people that are drafting in June. What's happened? Now, a lot of them are best ball drafts, though, which
right.
You can get away with it. But I don't want to. You know, last thing I need is if I'm drafting Todd Gurley, number one overall, and he blows his knee out in preseason, you're done.
Yeah.
So these guys, you know, we all know how each other drafts. We all know our tendencies. A funny story this year, one of the guys can't make it. And he's actually going to be at a christening to be able to do it mobile.
Mm-hmm.
So he was going to set on auto draft. And we were like, no, no, no. We need to move the time because he makes such bad picks. We need him to make his picks because it's going to pick the best available guy. This team's going to be good.
Right.
So we move the time to after the christening so that he can
make it to the draft.
He won't be there, but he can still pick mobily.
Gotcha.
It was very important. Like, we had a quick league meeting, about 3 of us. And we're like, yo, we have to move this because we need to make this happen. But
because the computer will pick better than
him. Computer's going to pick a better team than him. And he wanted to move it. And I'm like, that's dumb. You should just let it go auto draft. Your team's going to be so good. But you know, that's the fun of it. I think it's great when you're with guys that, you know, you get together. If you don't see them ever, you know, once a year, you're going to see them and you're going to bust each other's stones the whole time. And that's what it's about. That's what fantasy's about.
Our league, we have, pretty much everybody. Last year was probably the first year that we didn't have a lot of people come and draft because we started doing it more online at the draft.
Right.
so that way the commissioner of the league doesn't have to input everything at the end of the draft.
And we do that too now.
Yeah, so we're drafting live while we're doing it. And we have one guy who's drafted from Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. So at the commissioner's house, he's got a TV set up outside. We all sit outside at the bar. He's got a bar out there, and we all drink. And on the TV screen is just this big-headed bastard from Jacksonville making his picks. And
looks like he's like the host.
Yeah.
Probably, right?
He does. It's just, it's his face, like next to like the draft board. So he can't see us, but we can see him.
Right. It's like his seat. You put him in it, put the TV screen behind a chair, let him sit in it.
Yeah. Every now and again, I'll go up with like stickers that say stuff like a thought bubble over his head.
Yeah, you got to do that. You got to do that.
Some other like not mentionable stuff.
So you, you're looking from a point standpoint. You have an idea in your mind what you need to get every week.
Right.
My strategy, I'm of the old school. I go running back heavy. Okay. And I do that for a few reasons. I feel that wide receivers are more of a dime of a dozen from a free agency standpoint. You can grab somebody, and there's not as many bell cow running backs anymore. So you, in my opinion, you want to make sure you scoop up as many of them as possible. I also feel that they are tradable more easily than a wide receiver is.
Yes.
And especially when injuries come up, because somebody can pick up a wide receiver that's serviceable through free agency, and they don't have to give up any of their, you know, grade A or grade B players.
Right.
When you lose running backs, you need to give up a little extra
to
get one off somebody. So I'm usually the guy that'll go two running backs and a wide out in the first three, or I'll go three running backs and worry about the wide out there. Boom, boom, boom. And you can do that. So let me preface this. So our league, we draft by how you get to select what slot you want to pick at by how you finish the year before.
Right.
Okay. So if you win, you get to pick where you want to be 1 through 10.
Right.
Okay. I always want to be at the top because I want to get one of the top three guys. And then when it comes around, so, you know, in reality, I'm getting three of the top 22 guys. Mm-hmm. There's 13 running backs this year. There's probably 8-9 wideouts. You need something goofy to happen to be able to get them. So I'll go two backs in the stud wideout, or I'll go three backs this year. And I already know that going in.
So what, like, how bad do you get? Like, if that gets disrupted,
uh-huh.
If people are making moves, like, and they're sniping you, like, when you get thrown off, how hard is it for you to readjust and pick on the fly? Like, do you have like a list of players that you rank them? Or?
Yes. Yeah. So I always go in with my rankings of who I want. Mm-hmm. And usually the only thing that throws you off, it's not so much if one of your guys is taken that you thought was going to be there. It's when someone else goes that you didn't think was going to get taken.
Right.
Because it gets your attention and you're almost like, wait a second, did I miss something?
Yeah.
So you scramble a little bit, and that's when you just got to stay disciplined for yourself and know that you have a plan set up and you have to stick to your plan.
Right. I like the approach too. Like, I'm looking here, Tony Cotillo jumped in and he said, loves being seventh or eighth. Cause you said you like being at the top.
Right.
I'm more of like a fifth guy, like fifth, sixth.
Right.
Seventh.
You want to be dead center.
I
want
to be
You've
dead in the middle because I get to pick like every 12th picks. Instead of having to wait, you know, if you're in a 10-man, 12-man, like you're picking every 12, you're picking every 10, however it works.
Right.
I'd rather be in that situation than picking one and not picking again till 20.
Okay.
Like, I feel like there's too much of a gap between that. Like, having the number one pick is great.
But right.
I don't really ever know, and I'm sure that people listening can fire this out. How many times does a guy who has a number one overall pick actually win your league?
So
it's not often.
I'll give you a stat. Since two... No running back, and let's be honest, the running back's usually the first pick, okay?
Yeah.
No running back has ever repeated as the points leader for that position since 2002, 2003. It was Priest Holmes.
Priest Holmes.
He was the last one to do it.
Right.
So in 15 years, it's been a different running back. So for us to always say that, you know, here we go. who led it last year.
Right.
You know, you got Bell and Gurley were at the top.
Right.
So are you going to tell me not to take one of them at number one?
No.
Because they're not going to repeat as number one?
I got you.
You know?
Yeah. I think, too, like another thing that I do, and I get criticized for this because I've been burned on it a bunch of times, but this is, again, your strategy is your strategy, your philosophy. I'll take a quarterback before it's popular to do so.
Yeah.
I've been burned without a quarterback, and I know that's where I said the emphasis on scoring in your league is important.
Right.
If you're in a league where touchdowns for running backs are six and, you know, throwing touchdowns are only four, I get it, running back. The league I'm in, it's six for everybody.
Me as well.
You know, drafting a quarterback, I mean, there are value in drafting them late. We've got Jimmy Marcus jumping on with us from Standard Boot First, and he's specifically coming on to talk about quarterback values.
Okay, cool.
Jimmy, are you there?
What's up, boys?
Not there, Rob?
I'm here. I can hear you loud and clear.
Jimmy, you hear us, bud?
I hear you guys.
Well, Rob works that out.
That's okay. I want to comment on Tony's comment real quick, too, because he said he likes to pick in like the 7-8 area, right?
He said in a PPR, 7 gives me the best wide receiver, and then 13 gives me a solid back without reaching.
Right. So he knows he's grabbing two of the top 15 guys.
Right.
You know,
he's the same philosophy as me. He wants to be right in that middle of the pack where.
Right. Which is good. He knows he's getting a stud and a stud.
Right.
Okay. Now, depending on your season, that talent pool, there's a big difference, in my opinion, this year between 24. Most leagues are 12 teamers now.
Right.
And where he would be at, he'd be at like 29 for that third round pick.
Right.
It's a huge drop off there. Where he's getting the advantage in the first two rounds, mm-hmm. I would say by not being at the closer end to the beginning of the draft from the snake, there's a huge drop off. Right. And that's year to year.
Absolutely.
So there are times where, listen, I've won my league drafting at 7. I've won my league drafting at 1. I've lost my league drafting at 7. I've lost my league drafting at 1. You know?
Right.
So, but it's just where
I've had more success drafting at the back of the draft than I have.
I more do it for injury purposes, because if I'm going to get hurt, or preseason more than anything. So last year, Zeke was a huge example of that. Lev Bell's holding out. We didn't know if Zeke was being suspended. Like if you said, I want the third pick,
right?
And those two guys are question marks when you draft, what do you do? You know what I mean? Like you feasibly can't miss.
Right
on them.
Jimmy, can you hear us?
I can hear you guys loud and clear. What's going on?
Beautiful,
Jimmy.
What's up, boys?
How are you,
what's
man?
Going on? Can you turn up his volume a little bit, Rob? Because I'm having a little trouble here, and Jimmy. So what's going on, bud? Down the shore?
That's down in the Outer Banks. A little vacation with family and friends.
Nice.
Jimmy, you wanted to talk about quarterbacks,
yes,
right?
Bear with us for one second. Rob's trying to get some technical difficulties squared away here. It's our first time, Jimmy.
That's all right. You guys are doing fantastic. I'm enjoying listening. A little
You're
fantasy
a good
football on Sunday mornings is nice.
That's all right. Let's go.
So we brought you on specifically because we wanted to talk. I know you're a big fantasy guy, and you guys don't get to talk that a lot on your show. Quick plug for you. Jimmy Marcus, Santa Boot First. You guys are on every Saturday at 4 o'clock now?
That's us, yep. 4 o'clock now.
And you guys are on Wildfire. You can get that through the Wildfire Radio app. So we're talking about, like, when is it too early to draft a quarterback? Like, when do you usually think about making a move and then their values?
So you guys, I've been listening in and hearing the different strategies and things, and I definitely agree with you guys. If the points for the quarterback are the same as a running back, then there's definitely some quarterbacks you're going to want to focus on higher, right? If you're getting 6, why not take a top-tier quarterback early over, you know, maybe a third-tier receiver or running back? This is why I'm in an auction league, and I love the auction league because then you can do whatever you want. As long as you're willing to pay up, right? So for me, I don't really focus on when in the draft. It's where's the value? Where can I sneak in and get a Kirk Cousins for $2 instead
right.
you know, fighting with the guys who want Aaron Rodgers and paying $12-$15 for an Aaron Rodgers. But
what's your,
the way the quarterback position is,
what's your budget in your auction?
That's a $200 budget, 10 okay. teams. And what's interesting about this league is it's set up kind of like a dynasty league as well. So you
okay.
draft your guy, you get a 3-year contract. Whatever you draft them at, you get that for 2 years. Then the third year, you get a 20% bump. And then the players go back into the pool the following year to kind of keep the
okay.
pool fresh. And it's not a complete, you know, true dynasty where you keep them for the life of the league. So it's
okay.
interesting. It makes it fun. Like, we have to do our cut downs in the middle. We had to finish them this past week. So in the middle of the off season, you have to get your roster between a certain dollar amount, $65 to $125. So whoever you can keep within that salary range is yours. So my team, I have Carson Wentz for $2. Seems like good
nice.
Value for me, especially if he comes back and starts playing week one. But then you have...
So you're willing to pay up for an Aaron Rodgers, right? And not only in auction, but are you willing to do that in like a standard snake also?
I'm not. No, I won't.
Okay.
There's just too much. The quarterback position, it's too full. It's too bountiful, right? You can wait, and if you're in a 10-team league, you're still looking at possibly like a Drew Brees or a Matt Ryan at the 10th spot. So if it's a one quarterback league, you know you got those guys. You guys are talking about, or you know certain people. They like their players. They like their positions. They're going to get their guy. I sit back and wait. I'll pick up some depth at running back or depth at receiver, and I'll take a Marcus Mariota in the 8th, 9th round if that's who's there, and I'll put some depth in my running backs.
1,000%, especially this year more than ever.
Yep.
Yeah, there's a ton of good quarterbacks that you can get late in the draft and still be in good shape. Like, I think Tommy and I were kind of show prepping yesterday and we're talking. There's like 15 quarterbacks that you could do well with.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, just go around the league. So if you don't get like a top tier quarterback, like I think it's Aaron Rodgers, maybe Tom Brady,
and then
everybody else.
Right.
You don't know
yeah.
what you're going to get from Brees because it's father time. Tom Brady. Still the same.
Still a little
thing,
bit of question mark.
A little
mark.
More of a picture of consistency. And
yeah.
I think Drew Brees would probably fall more in the upper tier than anything else. But after that, then you start looking at guys like Cam Newton, Matt Ryan, who are going to get you 3,000 yards, you know, 25, 30 touchdowns. There's a bunch of guys in the league that are in that tier where you're okay with it.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then you also know, like I was saying, there's those sexy names out there that guys just fall in love with. I got to have Jimmy Garoppolo on my team. I got to have him. So they're going to reach, and there's going to be that guy in your league that reaches to pull him higher, and fine. That means
Phillip Rivers guy
falls down to me.
Phillip Rivers. That's exactly what I was going to say. I got no problem waiting until round 10, taking Rivers or Stafford instead, and then making sure in the third or fourth round I get like Jordan Howard or Stephon Diggs or Adam Thielen or somebody like that instead to fill in my roster. Because you're going to be that far ahead of the rest of your league mates.
Yeah, and if you're talking hitting your target with your points per week, you're going to get a guy like Phillip Rivers who's going to average maybe 10, 11, 12 points a week for you. I'm completely fine with that.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, and there's guys that are being overdrafted this year. You know, the Deshaun Watson hype, he's out of control. The guy
Where's the drop?
I love him, and everybody knows that. We don't have a drop. He's my boy. I would buy a jersey, but I'll get a lot of flack from these guys if I wear a Houston Texans jersey in Philadelphia, I think.
You would.
I think we prefer to see you in that than your Giants jersey.
Right. But, you know, he's going off as the second quarterback in drafts right now. With the sample size...
Four games.
Just makes zero sense to me. Like, give me Matt Ryan right now. I'll take Matt Ryan. Guy was MVP two years ago. He had touchdowns.
Right.
And
if you read a
good receiving core, I think that matters.
Yes. Receiving core, the whole team top to bottom is solid.
Right.
So you
listen to some of the analysts out there and you know, Burry's out there and he's great. Take everything with a grain of salt. But it really is about, you know, trying to eliminate the risk. So, yeah, Watson was great. But am I going to waste my number one pick on Watson when He's only got four games. Garoppolo looked great in the five games. I mean, he got paid a buttload of money for those five games. But for my fantasy team, am I going to reach to get him in the second and third round if that's what other people think he's worth? No, I'm not doing it. It's all about trying to get that guy that's consistent. And if he's not sexy, I don't care. If it's Andy Dalton, so it's Andy Dalton.
Rodgers does it every year. Because you know you're pretty much guaranteed 200 yards and two touchdowns every week. Very rarely throws less than that or gives you points less than that in some sort of combination. So if you're looking from a floor standpoint, I'm okay. But there's so many guys out there right now that you don't need to do it. The difference in points per week is not high enough to warrant, and I'm not calling it a reach, but to warrant that position playing.
Agreed.
So, yeah, agreed.
The first year with you didn't get one of those five guys, you were changing in your quarterback every single week.
You can literally get away, Steve, with the way your league was set up, how you were talking earlier. You could take your kicker and defense before your quarterback and have no problem.
Yeah, I've drafted a quarterback out of the draft.
And that's almost criminal that you can. But it's working out that way this year.
Right.
I mean, I would never do it in like a standard league where you're just getting 3 points for field goal, no bonuses. You're getting the 1 point for extra point. You know, your kickers are doing 1 point for sack, 1 point for interceptions, and no real scoring bonuses for defense. At that point, you're taking them in your last two rounds.
Right.
But if you're in a league where your defense is rewarded for yards against or penalized for too many yards against, then you need to think about it.
Right. Jimmy, quick before you go, give us some of your philosophies and your common mistakes that are made in drafts.
I think it's just falling in love with a name. I got to have this guy. It's a little easier to do in the auction style drafts where if I want to pay the money to get Saquon Barkley, I'm sure I can outbid everybody. It's not a smart thing to do in my mind. It's, you know, you got to draft to your number, stick to a strategy. Don't fall in love with one guy. In a standard snake, you're just talking about kickers and defenses. Don't take them until the end. Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
Somebody still does it. Somebody still says, I got to get Justin Tucker. I'm going to sneak him here in the 13th round. Why? Why do that?
I agree.
Yeah.
But
Jimmy, plug
my suggestion
show.
Would be, we got a Santa Boot First podcast. Mm-hmm. Saturdays at 4, you can hit us up on Twitter at Santa Boot First, where we're kicking back into full gear this next Saturday coming up. And looking forward to another great season.
I'm looking forward to it for you too, Jimmy.
It's going to be you guys. Do a good job. It's a different perspective on football because you guys are specifically an Eagles show, but it's the generations of season ticket holders kind of sharing their experience throughout the season. So,
yeah,
good
and
stuff.
What's made it a little more interesting for us is now we have a father son duo on the show, which gets fun at times seeing Deke and young DJ there going back and forth with their perspectives on the game. But it's a lot of fun. Like you guys, we just get in there and we talk ball, and it's a blast for an hour. So
that's right.
You guys keep up the good work as well. I'm looking forward to listening to you here on the Sundays with the fantasy talk. Keeping my eye on Tommy.
If you need any advice, I got you. You know I won last year.
I know where to go.
You know that,
right? I do know that, yes. I do remember that. I do recall that happening.
I'm not going to let you forget. All right, bud. Have a good weekend, right?
Thanks
for calling in, man.
Thanks.
Yep. See you guys.
All right, bye-bye.
So a lot of good stuff there.
Yeah, he's exactly right. Like, you know, and it sounds like he agrees with what we're saying from a quarterback standpoint. You know, you can get what we mentioned, Phillip Rivers. We mentioned Matt Ryan. You have Ben Roethlisberger. You have Kirk Cousins. I mean, these are all guys from a point standpoint. There's not a large enough difference between them and Aaron Rodgers for me to take Aaron Rodgers in the fourth round.
Right. Real quick, just unplug the number. Call in with any questions you have. You know, if you're trying to figure out where to draft somebody or, you know, during the season you want to have stardom, sit on questions, stuff like that. Number to reach us is 929-477-1319. We leave the phone lines open the whole time, so just call in and hit us with your questions. We also have a mailbag. Hit Tommy Nicknames, @TommyNicknames on Twitter. Hit him with your questions, and he will be answering them live on the show, which we'll do probably towards the end.
We got a couple, so.
Yeah, we'll hit those more towards the end of the show. But quarterback value was something we were talking about with Jimmy.
Yep.
And the fact that you think there's 15 guys. So, like, basically, when you go into the draft, your approach is you're not worrying about kicker, you're not worrying about defense. Quarterback should know you're going to get. Everything comes down to running backs, wide receivers.
And I'm loading up on running backs. If you don't have a roster restriction,
right,
get your starting lineup set from a running back, wide receiver, tight end, or flex, and then fill it with backs. But that's my that's a strategy that I have. Not everybody's like that. So, you know, you just need to you have to have a plan.
Right.
Like I said, don't go in blind. You know, be ready.
Absolutely.
Because if you're not, and you're looking around the room and you can't figure out who the fool is at the table,
It's usually you.
We got that right.
Yeah. I've been there. Wait, what?
Yeah. And you know what? Well, I'll call you it, and I have no problem calling you out on it if you are.
That's what drafts are for.
That's right. That's what we do.
So we thought we were going to have Teron today. It looks like that's a no-go. So we're going to go into talking about what's that?
That's fine. Go ahead.
Yeah. So you wanted to have – we can still discuss what you wanted to talk about. So Teron Davenport is an ESPN NFL insider. He's specifically embedded with the Tennessee Titans. And we were going to talk about the matchups that are going on down there because there's a lot of fantasy – it affects the way the fantasy is going to play out with some of the players that are there.
Big time.
So what were some of the key matchups that you wanted to go through?
Well, so they in the offseason, the Titans signed Deion Lewis. DeMarco Murray retired, and we all kind of see the writing on the wall. The change of guard was happening towards the end of last year where Derrick Henry was getting more carries. And at the end of last year, he was actually like one of the guys I mentioned, like stars to look for next year. Like, he was going to move up draft boards, be the bell cow back, and now they bring in Deion Lewis. So the question that we have to watch right now, do we have a running back by committee in Tennessee still? And where you really have to think about it is from a value standpoint, if you're going to draft Derrick Henry in the fourth round, but you can get Deion Lewis in the sixth round, where's your value there?
Right.
Okay. So for me, I'm waiting and I'm taking Deion Lewis in the sixth.
Do you think Deion Lewis is just going to be primarily the third down back, or do you think he's going to get a bunch of carries?
I think he's going to get a bunch of carries.
Henry's still going to get drafted ahead of him?
He is, I think. Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe not in PPR. But you know, there's a difference. If you're standard of PPR, you need to know your league. Because that's going to matter. But he is not just a pass-catching back. He is a run-between-the-tackles running back as well.
Right.
So if they're going to run their new offense, which is allegedly not I-formation anymore, you know, Mike Vrabel's there. They're going to run more of a spread offense to showcase Mariota.
Right.
Deion Lewis is going to be on the field for that.
Do you worry about his durability?
Yes, I know. He does get hurt. He has injury history, but so does Henry.
Right. But I'm saying, like, not specifically because of sharing time with Henry. I'm saying that his usage is going to go way up.
Sure. I mean, if he gets 15 touches a week, you know, that's standard running back by committee, right? Do I think 15 is too many for him? I don't. I wouldn't worry about it. I'm not going to worry about drafting him in the sixth round that he's going to get hurt. Based on his usage.
Gotcha.
Doesn't concern me. They just gave a ton of money to Taylor Lewan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, made him the highest paid offensive lineman in football in NFL history. They shore up their O-line. You know, there's going to be holes there. So,
right.
And they're at the point now, they got in the playoffs last year. To me, the Titans are kind of like this is a show-me year for them.
Right.
You know, are we taking the next step? Mariota has something to prove. He had bad numbers last year. I mean, bad's relative, but I think they thought he would be further along. You know, their first-round pick, Corey Davis, is finally healthy. We saw a glimpse of him in the playoffs last year where he had two touchdowns against the Patriots. He needs to really step up and establish himself as that number one wideout. Like the Rashard Matthews experiment as a number one is over. Corey Davis needs to be the guy.
He does, but you're going to go 1 year. Rashard Matthews can't be the number one.
Well, no, but I'm just saying, like Rashard Matthews has been in the league long enough. He's not a number one wide receiver.
Okay,
Delanie Walker's the number one target there probably, but now he's hurt. He's got toe issues again.
Right.
So, and Mike Vrabel, being the culture coming from Bill Belichick's world, is mum the word on injuries.
Who was your coach last year?
The Titans?
Yeah.
Mike Mularkey.
All right. So
old school.
Absolutely. Wants to run the ball more than he wants to throw it.
Yes.
Which I think that plays to everything Marcus Mariota is not good at. You want to hit the ball in his hand, him making the decisions, and you want to be.
We got a caller.
Who do we got?
I don't know.
Who do we have on the line? Caller. Hello.
Hey, it's Mark from Fourth and Go. What's up, guys?
Mark, what's up, buddy?
How you living?
Living large, my man. Living large.
Show's great, man. I only caught a little bit of it. I'm running around. I'm doing a lot of errands today. But, you know, you guys are doing a great job. It's good to get, you know, a little bit of, you know, podcast action on a Sunday morning. So get gears you up for football season. I know you guys were talking a little bit about the Titans, and I don't know if you guys already covered this, but I just wanted to chime in on you guys. Seems like you're debating on Henry and Lewis, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Well, one of the things a lot of people don't know, and this may have came down to the system over in New England because they always do a great job, but Deion Lewis's conversion rate when you get down inside that 5-yard line is very, very good. So I would look for him to actually get a lot of the touchdowns instead of Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry's kind of like a bulldozer, but when they get inside, when it's like 4th and 2 or 3rd and 2 down inside that 5-yard line, his conversion rate's really not that good, even though he's so powerful, because he stands straight up. He's a lot like Brandon Jacobs was.
Right.
So, you know, when they get down inside there, I think they're going to use a lot of Mariota and a lot of Deion Lewis. And I think a lot of people that are drafting Henry
between the 20s, maybe.
Mm-hmm. To just pound them and wear them down, you know. But I think the Titans will be a good team, and I think they have a good 1-2 punch with those guys, but I just don't know if the value's there with Henry.
Yeah, I don't think so. I'm with you there. And that's kind of how I said it. From a round standpoint, I'm waiting and taking Lewis.
Mm-hmm. It's the higher value, and it's the guy that you can get later, you know, as long as he can stay healthy, obviously. You know, I like it, but I think there's a lot of good value. I mean, I don't know if you guys saw from the wide receiver standpoint, you saw Taylor last night take that one, that bubble screen, took it to the house. So, you know, I think there could be a lot of like late round gems on that team.
Yeah, he had 2 touchdowns last night, I think, and I know they want him to be the number 2 on the other side of Corey Davis. So I believe he was a rookie, not last year. This might be he's going into his 3rd year, I think.
I think it was the same draft. They just took him later.
Okay.
Like they went, though. I think they went. He might have been the same draft as Corey Davis. I'm not positive, though.
Because I know when they took him, they wanted him. Like, he was like the preseason buzz guy. Because he had a good preseason. He had a good camp. And everybody was like, oh, look at this guy. He's going to be the next big wideout for Tennessee.
Right.
But they're definitely set up. They got some good pieces. They got some talent there. You know, that division is quickly becoming really competitive.
Yes. Well, I mean, with Jackson now, if Deshaun Watson stays healthy, the Texans are going to be tough out for anybody.
Right. And Andrew Luck is allegedly back. But, you know, we'll see.
He's the wild card because you don't know. If he comes back to form, they could be.
I mean, there's 4 teams there that can legitimately win the division.
Mm-hmm. Probably no other division in football.
You can't say that about many divisions.
I'm interested to see what Vrabel does you know, as a first-time head coach in that situation with Tennessee? Like, what's his philosophy going to be? Is he going to be more of a defense-first guy, or is he going to be balanced? I think he's going to be more focused on the defense and let his offensive coordinator.
Yeah, he hired a really good offensive coordinator, so I think he's going to give him the keys and let him handle the offense, and he'll be like that, like kind of like Belichick does. He's in on the defensive meetings more than he is on the offensive meetings.
Right.
I think Vrabel's going to be that same mold.
Mark, thoughts?
Yeah, definitely. I think so. I mean, I think Vrabel's smart enough to kind of – he brought in LaFleur for a reason, so he's kind of going to let him do his thing on the offensive end and, you know, work more with the defense. But, you know, they're a team to watch out for. Another team from a fantasy perspective I would watch out for, you might be able to get some late-round gems, is the Detroit Lions. And that's Matt Patricia taking over there, and there's a big focus on the running game. And if they can finally get that going, I think a guy who has a lot of talent, if he can stay healthy, is Marvin Jones on the outside. And he could really propel to one of the top wide receivers in the league if Stafford can get some time and, you know, have a little balance in that offense. Then I think that he's a guy that could really benefit from that.
I don't think that Detroit's ever focused enough on their offensive line. And I think that that's been a problem for them throughout Stafford's career.
It's gotten better. They've been drafting him lately. But you're exactly right, Mark. I think Jones is taken over as the one
from a
wide receiver standpoint over Tate this year.
Mm-hmm.
Because Stafford likes to throw
without
a deep
a doubt.
Ball. Mm-hmm. You know, so
he throws a good deep ball, too.
Yeah, and that's where, you know, Tate's more the underneath guy. He's the possession guy. He's going to, you know, get the five-yard hitch and try to make somebody miss. Jones is going to run your go routes and your deep seams in order to, you know, make big plays. That's some X's and O's for all you coaches out there.
Dig it.
There you go. But listen, fellas, great show. I got to run. But
plug your show real
quick. Good luck with
Mark.
Everything. I'll definitely be tuning in next Sunday. Huh?
Hey, Mark, plug your show real quick before you go.
Without a doubt, you can check us out Wednesday night, 9 to 10:30 on wildfireradio.com. Fourth and Go, Philly Sports, 4 for 4 plus more. We give you a little bit of everything with all the major Philly sports. So make sure you check us out on Wednesday night.
Mark, always a
beautiful
pleasure, buddy. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Mark. Take care, all right?
All right, thanks, pal. Good luck, guys. Great job.
Thanks, man. Digging it.
Tennessee Titans are the hot topic.
They are.
Who knew?
I just, listen, I love the podcast family.
Yeah.
I mean, Jimmy jumping on from Santa Boot first. You've got Mark jumping in from Fourth and Go. You can check out in the comments. You've got Tony from the Heat Ratio and from Philly Influencer. Like, we've got such a tight-knit group of guys
right.
that are all, like, you know,
you support.
For each
you
got
to support
yeah,
one another.
Great.
Right.
It's great.
Everybody's got some
that.
Side projects they're working on top of their main project.
Yes.
And, you know, we're all just trying to get somewhere.
Yeah. We're all trying to get to the same place, but
right.
it's not as cutthroat.
Trying to win that $1 million DraftKings pot. And if I can help anybody do it, I'll give you my address. A little kickback. All right?
A little kickback. A little Venmo action.
Yeah, you know.
Send it through your PayPal.
You know how it is.
If you're listening, call in at 929-477-1319. Phone lines are open. We're taking any questions you have. We're going to do some mailbag stuff at the end. But before we do that, I wanted to get into players and coaches on the move.
Yes.
And whose value increases because of said move or decreases because of the move.
Okay.
So starting off, Doug Martin winds up going from Tampa Bay to the Raiders.
Right.
Gruden's back, likes to run the ball.
Yes.
And he's going to be running. He's going to be splitting carries with Marshawn Lynch. Good quarterback. In Carr, what do you think? You think it's an upgrade for him, downgrade for him?
I think he needed to get out of Tampa. I'll say that. It was time for him to move on. They gave him the ample opportunity to be the guy there. Oakland's the right spot? Not necessarily. Because you're still probably going to be the two. And if you think about Oakland, they have, like you said, Lynch. They have Rashard. They have Martin, and they have one more running back who's is escaping me right now. That's been incorporated. You're not keeping four,
right?
So someone's not making that team. And Lynch is old,
yes,
right,
yes.
But he has this mystique about him that, like, he's like the enforcer, and everybody's like, we need to have him on the team still because he brings attitude to our squad. I mean, Marshawn Lynch will literally run on the field for you to break up a fight.
Yeah. has.
And then get thrown out.
Yes, he has.
For that, that could help Doug Martin. But Doug Martin gets hurt all the time. I don't. And so there are certain teams where I'm going to stay away from any certain positions. I'm not drafting a running back in Oakland.
Right. But I'm saying, like, if you're in a deep draft and you're looking for value late in the draft, would you take a flyer on him? Like, that's kind of the purpose.
So I would rather have Martin than Lynch.
Right.
Based on ADP.
In that situation.
Correct.
So who else has moved that you think?
So Brandon Cooks is the big name.
Right.
Okay. That everybody's talking about moving from the Rams to the Rams now. Third team in
3 years.
3 years, right? Or third team in 4 years. Third team in 3 years.
3 years, yeah. He spent 1 year with the Patriots.
Cooks in the kitchen now in L.A.? Like how I did that?
I saw what you did. It wasn't as clever as you thought it was, but I saw what you did.
Todd Gurley. Woods. I mean, Cooks now. Cooper Kupp. What are you going to get? You're going to get 70 catches out of him. So think about it. If those three wideouts.
I don't think he gets that many.
If Kupp, Woods, and Cooks all get 70 catches, that's crazy. Basically saying it's not going to happen. You know,
that's
I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to.
So him going there, it's an upgrade from Sammy Watkins. Does it make them better?
No.
Probably not. Might make them more consistent, but they led the league in scoring last year. So how much more consistent do you have to get?
Right. They made that move because they totally stripped down their defense, and they had to do something to the offense.
Well, they signed everybody on defense, too.
That's what I mean. Yeah. Like, they stripped it down. Like, they made decisions on the defense.
Meaning they made so many additions there that they had to address the offense somehow.
Right, but they did make moves. Like, they signed the defensive players, but they also let go of some guys that are lesser known.
Sure.
They brought in Ndamukong Suh. They brought in
Peters.
Like
Aqib Talib.
Yeah,
they let go Ogletree at linebacker.
Right.
And Aaron Donald, we're still not sure what's happening there.
Right.
I mean, they have a great D-line, mm-hmm. and they have a great secondary. Right. Three guys in the middle playing linebacker, not so sure about any of them.
In theory, bold prediction now, the Rams should come out of the NFC and go to the Super Bowl. The way their team is built on paper, they've got more firepower than anybody.
Yes, that team is built to go now.
Yes.
Correct. And they got a great young coach in Sean McVay who showed that all you need to do is have an offensive system in place. Mm-hmm. No offense, Jeff Fisher.
Dude's got moxie.
Right.
So, who else on the move? Sammy Watkins to Kansas City because you brought him up already.
No, Sammy Watkins. He's like that guy for me. I don't want any parts of Sammy Watkins wherever he is ever. And mainly, he can't stay healthy.
Right.
And he's that guy that's going to get you four catches for 120 yards and a touchdown 1 week. And in the next week, he's going to throw up one catch for 8 yards.
Yes.
Plus, he's got a rookie quarterback in Mahomes now.
I think having a competent receiver on the other side of him increases Tyreek Hill's value.
I can agree there.
You can't just roll the safety Tyreek Hill's way because he's going to burn you deep.
Right. I mean,
you have to play a little more straight up.
It was Albert Wilson last year, so Watkins is an upgrade there.
Yes.
The Chiefs have been trying to satisfy that second wideout position for years.
Yes.
Even before Tyreek Hill. Mm-hmm. I mean, back in the day, they've been, you know, working on that.
Right. Mahomes is a negative, but not because he did anything wrong, just because he's second year and
right.
really hasn't had many reps.
Mahomes is a best ball guy. Because he's going to sling the ball all over the place, but he's going to throw three picks. He might get you three touchdowns in that same game.
I don't know, though. Andy Reid is really, really good with quarterbacks.
He is good with quarterbacks.
So, listen, I feel like if he was willing to walk away from Alex Smith,
right,
what we'll talk about next moving to Washington,
mm-hmm.
If he's willing to move away from Alex Smith, he knew something. He saw something. And I trust his ability to evaluate.
Right, I mean,
get the most out of that guy.
The big thing about Alex Smith was he was always like check down Charlie.
Right,
the guy led the league last year in downfield passing. Alex Smith.
Yeah,
they let it rip last year, and like you said, for them to move on from him,
they had to have saw something.
I feel that they kind of went rebuild mode a little bit. Their defense is going to be awful this year. Like they're going to need to score 28 points a week to win. that's good for fantasy.
Yeah.
If you're a Kareem Hunt owner, if you're a Travis Kelce owner, if you're a Mahomes owner, Tyreek Hill, good for them.
Right.
And that's the separation from a fantasy show versus real life football.
Right.
Okay. We want their defense to be bad.
Yes.
You want to have players on the offense that have a bad defense.
Well, just going back for a second, with the Rams defense being so good, how much does that devalue?
It probably devalues Goff and the wideouts.
But not Gurley because
he's going to get the ball. So a big misconception in fantasy football is you need to wait till the game's over to make your judgment if you were happy or not happy with your performance. Because someone like Gurley, when they're up by 17 points in the fourth quarter, and he rips it up, gets 10 carries in that quarter, throws a touchdown up, gets over 100 yards because of it, that's where you're going to get your bonuses, and that's where your points are going to come.
Right.
So you can't be nervous. It's 21-3, and I didn't get any points out of Gurley yet. This stinks. It's coming. You know, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
In that game.
Alex Smith going to Washington.
Upgrade, in my opinion.
From Kirk Cousins?
Yes.
Okay.
What's Kirk Cousins done?
We're going to get to Kirk Cousins, too, but why is it an upgrade specific?
I actually think he's a better quarterback.
Okay.
And his numbers are better. Alex Smith was the fourth quarterback last year in points.
From a fantasy standpoint.
Finished fourth.
Where did Cousins finish?
Down more towards like in the 10 area. But Kirk Cousins is a tight end guy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We know that. He loves shorter, and he loves throwing to the slot.
Right.
Okay. And, you know, they always accused Alex Smith, like I said, of being a check down guy. Running back right now, they're in a little bit of trouble, Washington. They've been hit with the injury bug.
I don't think they have anybody to run the ball.
I'm going to try out Monday.
Nice.
So I got it. We'll see how it goes.
I wouldn't be too surprised if Alfred Morris winds up back
there. Alfred Morris has already been signed in San Francisco.
Really? When did that happen?
Last week. Well, so
much stuff going
on. Matt Breida went down. Right. Not to jump ship on Washington, but Matt Breida got hurt. Who's the backup in San Fran in training camp?
And Jerick McKinnon.
McKinnon got hurt in the first game. So they signed Alfred Morris.
Right.
Interestingly enough, they say both will be fine for week one, but we're bringing in Alfred Morris.
Yeah.
That causes concern for me. So Alex Smith, I like Alex Smith in Washington. They got a really good receiving core. We got Jamison Crowder there. They got Doxson, who they're waiting to take the next step.
Right.
I know. If Jordan Reed could stay healthy, their offensive line last year was decimated with injury. They're going to be better this year. And their offensive line is going to be much better this year because they're healthy now.
I don't think they have enough weapons on offense.
Their defense is very underrated.
Okay. I don't think they have enough weapons on offense.
I understand that. But I think they're going to be better off.
Okay.
I mean, Kirk Cousins is a losing record in the NFL.
Which... Jalen Ramsey says he's a winner.
And just got a 3-year deal for $84 million with the Vikings.
Over the past 4 years, he's the highest paid quarterback in football.
Guaranteed money everywhere. Listen, Kirk Cousins is a genius, but let me tell you, little newsflash, Vikings fans, you're not winning the Super Bowl with Kirk Cousins.
No.
So if you think you are, pick up a better team this year. Different team.
So Kirk Cousins with Minnesota. Upgrade, downgrade from Case Keenum.
Well, upgrade. Only because he was taking the place of Case Keenum. No disrespect to Case Keenum, but he's kind of a journeyman.
Okay.
So Cousins, Kyle Rudolph stock goes up.
Right.
Same scenario. Loves throwing to the tight end.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, their wideouts are already there.
Right.
They're ready. Their offensive line is in trouble, though. They have been hit with some injuries. They've lost two offensive linemen already this year. And a third is questionable when he will be back.
Gotcha. So we're going to get into injuries in the preseason and players coming off of injuries. And so basically, just to recap what we just kind of went through there, down on Watkins, staying level on Cook. So if you're drafting Cooks, probably top three rounds, right?
I don't want Cooks as my number one wideout.
Okay.
I'll take him as a number two.
Watkins, you're saying pass on him.
I don't want Watkins at all.
Alex Smith, take a flyer on late before you would draft Cousins.
No, I'll take Cousins over Smith.
You just said it's an upgrade in Washington.
It's an upgrade in Washington, but it's not an upgrade in fantasy.
Okay.
If Kirk Cousins went to Seattle, I would probably say I'll take Alex Smith just because it's in Seattle, but position to win.
Gotcha.
I'm taking Cousins over Smith.
Gotcha. So let's talk injuries and your philosophy, because you and I have kind of shied away from having the conversation, but we knew we wanted to talk about it.
Preseason injuries, right?
Preseason injuries, players that get injured, like, for instance, we just mentioned Jerick McKinnon.
Yes.
So McKinnon gets hurt, but he's going to be back game one. So, like, when you're drafting, how do you approach?
So if someone's got a hamstring or a groin injury, they're off my board.
Okay.
Because it doesn't heal.
Okay.
It's not going to happen. It's going to be lingering all year. I don't want them. I don't care who they are. I want zero shares of them anywhere.
So
that injury will come up again. There's not enough time to rest for it to heal properly. It's going to come up again, and you're going to miss a game or two during the season because of it. They're just nagging.
Other than that, hamstrings?
No, I'm saying like hamstrings, groins, like the muscle injuries.
Okay.
I mean, obviously, someone breaks a leg or something, they're out. You know, torn ACLs,
broken finger.
Well, Davante Adams, I'm not picking anyway.
Okay.
So, because he has just, the fact that the Dolphins have given him the opportunity they have and every year act like he's going to be the guy.
Who? You said the Dolphins.
The Dolphins, yeah.
Okay.
You said Parker, right?
I didn't.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You said Davante Adams. And
I'm sorry. I just said Parker because Parker has the broken.
I just said broken
you
fingers.
Said broken, I meant Davante Parker. Excuse me. Not Davante Adams.
Right.
Sorry. Parker.
Right, you said Davante Parker, Davante Adams, and I'm going.
I had a moment.
And then your Dolphins.
You're looking.
I knew
that's
you
why
meant.
You're looking. He's looking. Adams broke his finger.
Yeah.
Let me check this now. I'm sorry, Davante Parker from the
Ooh,
Dolphins.
That's him.
Don't want no parts of that guy ever. He's in like Sammy Watkins' world for me. Not touching him.
So you also, while having a conversation about injuries, we're going to go on a little side. You also have players that, out of spite, you won't.
Never will take them. Never, never. They could be the number one. They could be the number one point guy, and I'm not touching them.
There's players the same thing. Could be the number one guy. And like, for instance, we were looking at the players yesterday, and not out of spite, but just because I can't see the value in drafting David Johnson as the third best running back.
Right, and he's not the problem there.
No.
The offensive line's the problem
there.
They
have nobody to throw
the
ball.
They have the worst offensive line before A.J. Shipley. Their starting center is out for the season.
Right.
So now they have a good day. I mean, Fitzgerald's there still. It's a solid. Sam Bradford, when he's healthy, he's probably one of the most accurate quarterbacks out there.
Okay.
That's but,
still not enough.
So you're not taking David Johnson top five?
No.
Okay.
I'm not anybody that does.
I'm not either. But he's right there. Like, he's like in six for me.
I just don't see the value in spending a first-round pick on him because the entire season is going to be a struggle for you.
But he's going to get 20 touches a game, and that's why people are taking him, because it's volume. Fantasy football is opportunity, right?
They have to have the ball enough for him to get 20 touches a game. I think their offense is
going
to
be so dreadful.
Well, they will,
because their defense, they're going to, the other team's going to be kicking off a lot.
It's going to be bad.
I agree. They're the worst team in that division.
Right.
Like, I think they're over-under for them, and wins is 6.5. If I were a betting man, I would go under.
There you go. So that's why it scares me, like, players like him. But, I mean, there's certain players that I know, I don't care if they're the best player in the league, like, I won't draft them.
Yeah. Everybody has that list.
Yeah.
And someone's either burned them before, and that's why they're on it, or just all year they've had the Red Cross next to their name on your roster, and you're just tired of looking at it and waiting for that update. Is he going to put, did he practice this week?
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, he went through walkthroughs on day on the side.
Yeah. There's just guys that I can't justify, like, for one, and not to bring out my homerism, but like, I would never, ever draft, trade, wind up with DeSean Jackson on my team ever. And like, there's been years where he's a top 5 points receiver because he's the long ball guy. And like, he scores. He's inconsistent, but he gets points, but I would never have him on my team.
No. I'm okay with that.
Joe Flacco won't have him on my team.
Well, he's a terrible fantasy quarterback.
Right, but like, there's certain guys that I just know, like Matt Ryan, I probably won't draft him. You'll get value for him later on, but I won't. There's too much inconsistency with him.
Okay.
So, like, I have my list.
So you have your personal.
Tom Brady, I will never draft.
And Matt Ryan is a guy you should look at this year. But
yes.
If he's already off your list, that's fine. You know that, and you're not going to play him.
Right.
So.
Tom Brady is another one.
Well, you should reconsider that. He's pretty good.
Listen,
does
I get
a nice
it.
Job.
I get it.
Does a nice job on
but
Sunday.
I just know that I'm the guy, like, my karma, my streak. I'm the one that's going to draft him the
right.
year he tears his knee up.
I'll give
I'm
you
the guy who's going to get him the year that he finally, you know, Father Time catches up with him.
Tom Brady cannot play in Miami.
Okay.
When they are on the road, and the NFL is so sneaky about this, I feel like they do it on purpose. They schedule the Patriots against the Dolphins on the road in playoff weeks for fantasy football, probably the last 4 years.
So do you think that they do that because the Patriots then get the
they don't
have to play them in the cold, they get to play them in warm weather.
I don't know why they do it, but people lose their fantasy playoff games because Tom Brady throws up one touchdown and 180 in Miami.
The league should just make a stand and say we're going to flip-flop Pittsburgh and Miami. Switch their divisions.
Why?
So that way the Miami's not in the NFC or the AFC East anymore. Do something where you realign and get Miami out of that division.
But why them?
Why Miami?
Yeah.
Because they're the only one that aren't a Northeastern team that's in a division. It's like the Cowboys and ours.
Okay, I got you.
It's like the Cowboys
and
ours.
I didn't know where
division.
You were going with it. I'm sorry.
It's like the Cowboys and the Eagles division. Like, it doesn't fit.
Right.
We're an hour from Washington. We're an hour from New York. We're three time zones or two time zones away from Dallas.
Right.
It doesn't fit. Doesn't belong there.
Right.
And I don't care about the rivalries. Like, rivalries are gone.
Yeah, no one
They
cares
don't
about
exist
that.
Anymore.
Not in fantasy football. No one cares.
No.
But, like, from an injury standpoint, too, like, there's other guys I'm not touching this year. Like, Sony Michel's hurt early for the Patriots.
I don't know why you would draft a Patriots running back anyway.
Rex Burkhead now has allegedly, like, a slight tear.
Right.
But they're not giving you any specifics on it. Doug Baldwin.
Zach Martin.
Is banged up. You know, Zach Martin got hurt last night.
Yeah.
Hyperextended his knee. MRI today. That's huge. For Zeke.
Yes.
Between him and Joseph Frederick, who has a stinger in his neck and his back that's been bothering him, and he's getting a second opinion, mm-hmm. like, go ahead, you just lost half of the left side of your line if Martin's injury is more significant.
That's huge.
Yeah.
That devalues Zeke a little bit.
Just a touch.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Just a touch. I got to wait on that because he's number one on my board.
Right.
But that could change. Stay tuned.
Yeah.
You know?
Phone number to call in, again, 929-477-1319. 929-477-1319. Call in. We're going to do a little mailbag now.
Okay.
So you had a specific one that you were going to hit with.
Yeah, I got actually a hit up on Friday from Hutch, who lives in Somerton. He has his seventh pick in a 12-team half-point PPR. And he's kind of narrowed his picks down to Kamara and Barkley of who he feels he's going to get, you know, through his league. For me, it's Kamara. And it's not even close.
I agree. If it was a standard league, I'd go the other way. It's the PPR. Because I don't know if Shermer's going to throw the ball to his running backs. I'm not saying that he won't.
Right.
I just don't trust that he will.
Okay. Kamara's numbers have to come down a little bit from last year because he was at such a high level of,
I don't know about that.
Of scoring mm-hmm. based on his touches. Like he broke records. It's right. never happened.
Right. But I don't know if it necessarily has to come down because he's going to be the primary guy for the first four games.
Right. With Ingram being suspended,
right.
that might balance it out a little bit.
Call it a four-game suspension, but you still have to work him back into game form.
Right.
So expect it to be like six games before you get, you know, a full dose of Mark Ingram.
Plus we know Sean Payton.
Yeah.
Like when you're in his doghouse and he's got like something against you.
Yeah.
There was a game last year that Mark Ingram was perfectly healthy. He got zero touches.
Right.
He didn't even play.
Yes.
Cause who knows what he did, but Sean Payton just said, you're not playing today.
Right.
So knowing coaches that way is important as well.
Yes.
You know, you got to know whose shit list you don't want to be on.
Right.
You know?
So that's me. I think that Saquon is being unfairly put up as far as, you know, your average draft position higher than he should be. I'm not saying that he's not going to be a spectacular, amazing talent in the
right.
NFL. But you're talking about putting him over top-notch guys that have already been established.
Right, and that's happening because of what's happened recently
yeah,
with the rookie
Zeke
running back. Zeke,
Fournette. Right.
Kareem
Hunt.
Right.
They're
giving a bump on these young rookie running backs that you used to say they need a year or two. It's a whole other world now.
Right.
I'm with you. Plus, he's got a hamstring injury now.
Right.
So Saquon Barkley is off my board. And that pains me to say that.
Right.
But I'm not taking him.
Makes sense to me.
But for Hutch, it's definitely Kamara. Right? PPR, mm-hmm. Half point PPR, we can agree on that.
So it is a keeper league, PPR. You can only keep two.
Okay.
Tyreek Hill.
Right.
Michael Thomas.
Right.
Joe Mixon.
You can keep two.
You keep two.
You lose any rounds?
No.
So no penalty?
No penalty. Just pick two.
For me, Michael Thomas, definitely.
Right.
And with the value needed at running back, I'm keeping Mixon.
Why? Why not in a PPR keep two guys that you know are going to be, you know, top five and a top 10 possibly wide receiver?
Well, Tyreek Hill, you still have you have Mahomes there, so new quarterback.
Right.
Okay, which.
But longer arm.
Concerns me. Well, he can
throw
the deep ball.
Deep. Yeah.
He can.
Yep. Tyreek Hill's game is getting behind the defender.
Sure. Mixon's going to get catches out of the backfield. They've improved their offensive line this year with the Bengals. They can't be as bad as they were last year. A.J. Green, this is like the first time he didn't finish in the top 12. Their offense is just more. I think Mixon is a top 15 running back this year. So if you're going to keep him comfortably as your two, and then whatever pick you have in the first round, you're going to have to draft a running back. So you got Mixon as your two. You've already satisfied Michael Thomas as your number one wideout.
Right.
You got to get another running back in one. And then you're comfortable.
Yeah. That's why when I'm nervous, John. John Crichton, my main man from the 215 show.
Did you say you're swaying?
Yeah, he said I'm getting seasick. Stop swaying. Because I have a habit of, like, when I'm just, like, sitting here talking and conversing, like, I spin in my chair.
That's all right.
I get it. My bad, man. My bad.
Got to remember, we're on TV.
Yeah, it's different.
We forget about that stuff sometimes, right?
I'm more worried about, like, I'm still doing it as I speak. So now I got to.
So for me, it's Mixon and Thomas easily.
Right.
Okay. There's no thought for it on my side.
Yeah.
Thomas is going to be a top five wide receiver this year.
Ooh.
Bold statement.
That is a bold statement. What makes you think that?
He's the man in New Orleans. That guy
is the man last year.
He only had five touchdowns last year. His touchdowns have to go up. They have to go up.
I agree.
They just have. They're going to throw the ball. They're going to throw the ball this year more.
Just saying that's what's got to happen. Like without, like you got to.
Well, you see the progression in New Orleans. It's kind of standard as you see over the years. You know, they had Colston there.
Mm-hmm.
They had Cooks.
Mm-hmm.
Like every year. Or every other year, there's progression.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And listen, do you watch Michael Thomas? Guy's a baller.
He can play.
He can play. He's a top five wideout. Double-digit touchdowns, 1,300 yards. Mark it down. Easy.
I do not. Rob, do you have a bail bag?
No. I don't have nothing.
Okay.
Thanks, man.
That's all right. The bail bag's going to pick up.
Dynamite traffic.
No problem. Just to go back to what you were saying, though, about a player you won't ever touch, Dez Bryant is mine. I will never draft that guy. He's not allowed on any team I have.
That's a personal Philly thing.
No.
I would.
It's not.
I know you would.
I'm waiting for him to sign somewhere.
So let's talk. We got about 15 minutes left. Let's talk ADP.
Okay.
So, in terms of wide receivers, in terms of running backs, have you seen anything that, like, jumps out at you where you're going, I wouldn't draft a guy that high. I wouldn't draft a guy
in that area.
So,
like one of the ones, like for example, like I'm looking at the way that in most leagues, Todd Gurley is the number one without a doubt in every league.
Yeah.
Do you think that that's a good draft position? Is he the number one back?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to argue with anybody. There's three guys. It's a three-man race. It's Bell, it's Gurley, and it's Zeke. I'm not going to punish anybody for taking either one of them.
Okay.
Everybody has a reason they're taking one. Gurley's a consensus.
That's what I mean.
Because of the offense.
Right.
Le'Veon Bell would be if he was in camp. But, you know, the Rams led the league in scoring last year, as we said, and they're going to be right up there again, scoring 30 points a game. So that's why. You want to take players on teams that score. For me, one of the guys that's being overvalued, and we talked about him a little bit earlier because he got hurt, is Jerick McKinnon. Jerick McKinnon was the third running back on the Minnesota Vikings last year. And because because he was signed by San Fran and gone into Kyle Shanahan's system, who is notorious for running backs getting, you know, points mm-hmm. in fantasy, he's now up into the I've seen him go as high as a second round in pick in drafts.
Yeah.
You know, second, third round.
I'm seeing him listed as like the 12th best.
Yeah, I mean, that to me, that's way higher. We don't know if he can handle a full workload.
Jerick McKinnon is literally ranked between LeSean McCoy and Devontae Freeman.
Yeah, and
ahead of Jordan Howard.
And how are we not taking Devontae Freeman? Devontae Freeman's had 44 touchdowns the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. And I think last year he might have been just shy of 1,000 yards. But
Devontae Freeman?
Yeah.
865.
Right. So, but prior
seven
to that.
Seven touchdowns. Only 36 receptions, though.
Well,
I feel like that's.
They got a little bit of a committee there. Tevin Coleman steals some of that.
Yeah, but they should be trying to get the ball to Devontae Freeman as much as possible. I don't think that they're trying to. He only had 196 carries last year.
Right. I'm more comfortable with Devontae Freeman. If we're talking ones, because, you know, you're talking, I'll take Freeman as my one. All
right, so how about this for a ranking? Dalvin Cook ranked 10 ahead of McCoy, McKinnon, Freeman, Howard. Christian McCaffrey. I feel like it's too high.
I'm okay with because of who he's ahead of. I might put McCaffrey ahead of him this year. He was more of a receiving back. But at Stanford, he's a running back. He will run between the tackles.
Last year at Stanford, he had 253 rushes for 1,600 yards.
Yeah, I mean, he
only caught 37 balls.
He has no problem doing that. They brought in C.J. Anderson, which probably made people a little bit nervous, letting go Jonathan Stewart. C.J. Anderson's had his chances to be the guy. He's going to spell McCaffrey. He might lose a couple goal line carries because of it, get vultured a little bit, but not enough.
You're looking for him for the long breaks anyway.
Probably because of who else is there. And it's not a product of maybe he deserves to be, but it's a product of the rest of the pool that's putting up there. In that small sample size, if he didn't get hurt, I mean, he was kind of on his way yardage-wise. He was going to be easily a top five running back in the league in fantasy.
Kareem Hunt, Melvin Gordon ahead of Leonard Fournette.
Well, Kareem Hunt led the league in rushing last year, so I can't argue that. Fournette gets hurt. How many games did Fournette miss last year?
I'm not sure. He still had 268 carries.
Right, but I think I believe he only played in like 12 or 13 games, which is nice from a yardage standpoint, obviously, because
right.
he missed games, but he's missing time.
Right.
I'm taking Hunt. And Melvin Gordon, I love Melvin Gordon. One of the most disrespected players so far, or undervalued players in fantasy for me, is Melvin Gordon. And here's why. This is one of the things that no one will look at unless you're behind the scenes. The San Diego Chargers signed Mike Pouncey in the offseason to play center. Okay, he is one of the best centers in the NFL, and he is going to open up holes. They solidified one side with Russell Okung. Melvin Gordon's going to have a big year.
Top five?
A possibility. He's got the upside for it.
I mean, he's ranked just outside of top five
Eight. He gets a bad rap. I don't know why. People don't like Melvin Gordon.
I think it's
like
because
he's on that list for people. You know,
it's
not
because of San Diego.
Not that they
because
won't.
Of,
yeah, not that they won't draft them, but everyone's always like, oh, I got to get Melvin Gordon. He's there. I took Melvin Gordon in the first round of our draft last year.
Right. I think it's because of it's the San Diego effect. Like, I think when people draft, sometimes they look at the team that the person plays for and not the value. And that goes down to, like, when you're looking at consistency and you're trying to decide where you want to go with a player, and you go, oh, he plays for, like, I just did with David Johnson. He plays for Arizona. Arizona's going to suck this year. I'm not going to draft Arizona. I'm not going to draft David Johnson because of that.
Right.
I think that's what happens with Melvin Gordon year after year. Like, you're never going to draft one of the Jets running backs unless you're cornered and have to.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Agreed.
You're not going to draft a running back from Baltimore unless you're cornered and have no other choice.
I agree.
Do you know what I mean? Cleveland's another one.
Yeah.
There are certain teams out there you just know. Like, this year will be the first year I think that I can think of that you're immediate, like, and maybe with when Ajayi was there, but Miami. But Kenyon Drake's getting a lot of talk, but I don't think he's going to be good.
Well, they brought Frank Gore in, and now Frank Gore's allegedly found the fountain of youth again.
Right.
You know, and they got Ballage, who they drafted. So there's three backs down there that are going to play.
But Kenyon Drake's 15, ranked 15.
No,
that doesn't make any sense, right?
Someone else can
stay
have
with me, right?
Someone else can have him. I mean, Melvin Gordon's projected to get 1,500 total yards this year, mm-hmm. and like 8.9 touchdowns. I'll take 9 touchdowns out of him and 1,500 yards right now. Right?
Yeah.
And people are hesitant to draft him. Like, they need a reason to do so. I don't need a reason. I'm taking him. Performs every year.
All right. Before we move on from running backs, rookie running backs that you think are going to break out.
Well,
you have Sony Michel. You have Nick Chubb. Rashad Penny.
I mean, it was going to be Darius Geis before he was injured. Penny's now got the broken finger, but
Royce Freeman,
he should be there. Royce Freeman probably
Ronald
has
Jones.
Royce Freeman probably is going to get the most opportunity early. He has a very good chance of winning that starting job right away. Seattle's now saying Chris Carson's the guy. He's going to be the every down back, and Penny's going to come in on third down and spell him. Well, what's that do for you? You know, my only thing too, I don't think if Sony Michel was healthy, I don't think the Patriots are using a first round pick on somebody if they're not going to use them. And that goes against everything that they've done over the years, 1,000 yard rusher since Corey Dillon. You know, and he was the last bell cow that they had.
Right.
A lot of people are high on Kerryon Johnson in Detroit. I'm not interested. Talking about 1,000-yard rushers.
Right.
Reggie Bush in 2012 had 1,006. Prior to that, the last one in Detroit, Kevin Jones, 2002. That's a name from the past for you.
Yeah.
Local boy, too.
Yeah, he is local.
You know? So I'm going to go with Royce Freeman, if I have to take somebody.
Okay.
He's my flyer, and I would take Sony Michel first to see what happens.
Any players that are going to be drafted late that you could see, like, who's the guy that nobody's heard of that's going to come out?
From a running back standpoint, I mean, Nyheim Hines in Indianapolis is the guy I would target if I'm going to target some. I'm not interested in Marlon Mack. He's going too high. I believe Hines is the rookie. He's going to take over mid-season. Probably. You're going to have to be patient and wait on him. But he's a guy you're going to want to roster for the future, especially if you're in a dynasty league.
Okay.
You know, that's the guy you need to target for down the road.
Okay. Time frame, what do we got? 5 minutes left, Rob?
Yeah.
Wide receivers.
Yeah.
So let's talk Julio Jones.
Uh-huh.
You have, I don't know, the 8th pick in a PPR. Julio's on the board.
Is Hopkins still there?
No.
Hopkins is gone?
Yeah. Like, okay. Do you...
And Antonio Brown are gone?
Would you draft... Basically, I guess the question is, would you draft Julio Jones in the first three rounds?
I would draft him in... Yeah. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. First three?
Yeah. Like, where
does... Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He's a late one, early two. Probably more early two for me.
You're still that high on him?
Yeah.
This guy doesn't score.
I know. I'm still that high on him. PPR, yes.
See, this is one of the things we didn't talk about in your philosophies. We didn't talk about this in your philosophies, and I know this about you. You're a big target guy.
Yes.
But you got to also keep in mind some of those are throwaways.
Right.
Opportunity, opportunity, opportunity.
Right.
It's the only way you're going to score points.
I took the same philosophy, like I said earlier, when I drafted Maurice Jones-Drew and Michael Turner
right.
years back because they were the two running backs with the most attempts the year before.
Right. Like, here's
and
a guy
got burned. What I'm saying is just going strictly off of targets, like, the guy has to score for you. In the last 2 years, Julio Jones has 9 touchdowns.
I understand that. But he still finishes where in the wide receiver rankings every year?
High, because, I mean, he had 83 and 88 receptions. And he had probably 2,850 yards.
Yeah.
So, roughly.
Right. So, if he's getting 1,400 yards a year, you're okay with that.
Right. In a standard league, though, Julio's killing you. Because if you're not getting those PPR points, 160 points or
he's
whatever.
Definitely not as helpful. But you're still right. taking them.
It's just that, see, that's where you fall in love with a name.
Yeah.
I'm not saying don't draft Julio Jones. Don't get me wrong. What I am saying is that it's a little concerning to draft him as high as he's projected.
Because he doesn't score touchdowns.
Yes.
Right. I mean, I will take Antonio Brown, DeAndre Hopkins, and Keenan Allen over him.
Over Julio?
I will, yes.
What about Odell?
Odell, I will not take over him.
Michael Thomas?
No.
Ooh.
Michael Thomas is right after him. I'm taking Michael Thomas before I'm taking Odell.
Keenan Allen's ranked 9.
Well, in that book, he is.
I'm just saying in general.
But he's not in my world. The San Diego Chargers are going to win that division this year.
Really?
Yeah, and they're going to score some points.
Pretty bold.
Their offense is solid. I will give you somebody who I love, that mid-round pick.
Juju?
You might have to reach for him. Chris Hogan.
Chris Hogan from the Patriots.
Okay. Edelman's out for the first 4 games.
59 targets last year, 34 receptions.
He got hurt, okay?
5 touchdowns.
When he was playing, when he was healthy, the beginning of the year, first 5 weeks of the season, he was top 10 in wide receiver rankings. So if we project that out, and you're one of these guys that goes running back heavy early, mm-hmm. Chris Hogan in the 5th round is a great target.
All right, so we got like 2 minutes left. I'm just going to hit you with 2 high or 2 low, okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, Alshon Jeffrey, 22.
22.
Ranked 22.
22 in wideouts?
Yeah.
Too high. You might be on the pup list.
Demaryius Thomas, 18.
That's too low. He's a top 16 wide receiver every year of his career.
Josh Gordon. Ooh. He is at...
Too high. You don't even have to tell me where he is.
17.
Too high.
Amari Cooper at 12.
Too high. Can't catch.
Jarvis Landry at 39.
That's too low, especially if you're in your PPR. Guy, first 4 years of his career, he's had the most catches in NFL history. they're telling us. And I don't care that he's in Cleveland. Tyrod Taylor is a serviceable quarterback. Lessons.
Yep.
And Jarvis, lessons.
So we're getting kicked out. We got to run. So,
all right.
This has been a fun first Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Each and every Sunday, we'll be doing this. Starting next week, we're going to go to 11.
Yeah.
Next week and the week after, we're going to do 11 to 12. And then once the season starts, we're going to do from 11 to 11:45.
Yep.
So, our 11 to 12 program. So, leading right up until it's going to give you enough time to get your
last minute
right up to season. We're going to touch on PPR stuff. We're going to touch on standard league stuff. We're going to do daily fantasy. Pretty much into that every week. So, there's going to be a lot of content that we're going to give you week in and week out. So keep it locked here with us every week for all your fantasy news.
Yeah, and also hit us up.
Yeah, definitely hit us up on Twitter, Tommy McQueen for the mailbag. Hit us up on Facebook. You can check us out each every week on Thursday night, Crack Off Crew on Wildfire Radio. And that's our show for the week. I'm going to touch on anything before we go.
The 2 Megastars Summer Mashup, the awesome iPhone, on the Rockstar Metro PCS Network. Get the iPhone you've always wanted for $0, so you can jam without limits.
It's a hit. Get an iPhone SE on us when you switch. Metro PCS. Coverage not available in some areas, plus sales tax and $10 activation fee. Requires porting of number not currently active on T-Mobile network or on Metro PCS in past 90 days to an unlimited LTE plan. See store for details and terms and conditions.
It's the two megastars summer mashup. The awesome iPhone on the Rockstar Metro PCS network. Get the iPhone you've always wanted for $0 so you can jam without limits.
It's a hit. Get an iPhone SE on us when you switch. Metro PCS. Coverage not available in some areas, plus sales tax and $10 activation fee. Requires porting of number not currently active on T-Mobile network or on Metro PCS in past 90 days to an unlimited LTE plan. See store for details and terms and conditions.